desire your attention this morning, interest in your prayers. As we come to the, Lord willing, what I believe is a conclusion to this little series that we've had on finding our way home safely, which is really, as we've mentioned, one of the main reasons why we come here anyway is to find our way home. But maybe this was a little bit more of a specific type of series on finding our way. I've written on the board, life assist. Life assist. I remember a number of years ago now, I had a rental car. I was driving the rental car, and as I was driving the rental car, all of a sudden, something that was very unnerving happened. And what happened was is that the car started to go in a direction I wasn't turning. The steering wheel started to move in my hands. And the car moved, and it got my attention. I don't remember where my attention was before this happened, to be honest. Got my attention, and I was like, what just happened? This car just moved somewhere where I didn't steer the car. And I was like, was that my imagination? Did that really happen? And so I started experimenting, trying to see if I could get it to do it again, to try to figure out what was going on. And I saw that what was going on was that as I got close to the center line in the road, the car would start to come back to center of my lane. And when I started driving over to the white line on the right side, the car started to come back to the center again by itself, without me doing anything. And I didn't like it. I was the one driving the car. The car wasn't supposed to be driving me. I was the one that rented the car. I paid for the car. Car was supposed to do what I wanted to do, where I wanted to go, my car. And so I proceeded to do what I could to figure out if there was a button I could push, something I could do to turn that thing off, because I didn't like it. But you know why it was in the car in the first place? It was in the car to preserve life. Yes, they probably wanted to have a feature that maybe other cars didn't have at that time to sell more cars, but it was supposed to be an attractive feature because it was intended to save your life, to protect life, to keep you from going off the road into the ditch like apparently I was headed, or over into oncoming traffic to do harm, potentially, in the direction that I was headed. But there was other one thing I figured out. And that was is that if I turned the blinker on, then I could go in the direction that the blinker said that I was going to go, and it wouldn't try to interfere with where I wanted to go. So I could either... It's called lane assist. They're more prevalent now. Maybe you have them in your car. You can either turn it off and go in the ditch. Or you can turn your blinker on. And if you want to drive out into the field or into the ditch, you can drive out of the field into the ditch without it trying to interfere, because you told it, this is where I'm going. I'm going in the ditch. I'm going to go cross the center line into the oncoming traffic. So I'm going to turn my blinker on, let you know this is where I'm headed. And so then this thing called lane assist backs off. If you don't want the safety feature in your car, if you don't want that to help you, all you have to do is turn it off. Or you can leave it on and turn your blinker on and off, and then in the middle of all of that, it will try to assist you. But if you just don't want it at all you have to do is turn it off, and then you don't have to worry about it interfering with you when you start to head for the ditch or out in the field or cross the center line and hit a car. It'll leave you alone. It's your choice. Becomes your choice. All down through the ages of time, God has looked down upon this earth and he has watched people go into the ditch, go out into the fields, places that would do them harm. All down through the ages, the Lord has watched us get outside of our lane in ways that was never intended and get ourselves into oncoming traffic and hurt ourselves, cause harm to our own bodies, and be the cause of other souls being hurt and harmed. The Lord's watched that all down through the years, and he doesn't like it. And the Lord doesn't like to see people get hurt. The Lord doesn't like to see those that he has created to live in a way that he can have a relationship with and allow to experience the joy of the Lord that we talked about. He doesn't like it when he sees people get themselves into places that are so disruptive and hurtful and tragedies of life. And they happen. Happens all around us. So he did something special for us. The Lord saw all of that. The scripture says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He looked down and he gave his Son, and Jesus Christ came into the world and shed his blood that he might be able to forgive us of our sins and set us on a highway, a road of peace, a road that would take us to eternal life. But he did something else to help keep us on the road. The Lord looked at it and realized there is great need. This is a people that are in sin and trouble and tragedy and disappointment and hurt, and there's a price that needs to be paid that they are not able to pay on their own. And I want them to have peace. I want them to have joy. I want them to have salvation. So he sent Jesus Christ. But then he looked and he realized there is something that's needed. Well, he didn't realize it after. This was all part of the plan of salvation. That there was going to be a need to help keep us on that road of peace. There was a need that we have in our humanity, that if we are to stay on the road of that leads to everlasting life in a way that we don't go off into oncoming traffic and lose life and cause others to lose their life or go into the ditch or out into the field, we needed help if we're willing. And what he sent to us was the Holy Spirit. Sent to us the Holy Spirit. It's not a button that we push. It's not an inanimate object, but it is a real, live, living comforter. A comforter to help us, to talk to us, to help bring adjustment and realignment in our life as we live our lives and we start to wander off to either side that could get us into trouble. The Holy Spirit is there to help keep us on the road to everlasting life. I'd like to notice this morning what Jesus said in the 14th chapter of John. And I'm going to skip around just a little bit. John 14 and 16. Jesus knew that he was getting ready to go away. He knew that his disciples, it was going to be a sad time for them, and they were going to feel the absence of Jesus. And not only was the Lord looking after his disciples, but no doubt he was looking down through all of the ages of time, recognizing that there was going to be a great need for those that were endeavoring to live life and make it safely home. And so he told them in John 14, 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Right now, disciples, I've been your comforter, but I'm getting ready to go away, but I'm going to talk to the Father, understanding that I and my Father are one. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm not going to go away from you. I'm going to come back to you in a different way. I'm going to pray to the Father, and he will send you another comforter. Comforter with a capital C. That he may abide with you forever. He'll stay with you forever, all the way until the very end. He won't leave you. Even the Spirit of Truth. Not any old comforter, but a comfortable comforter with a capital C that is divine, that is truth, the Spirit of Truth. The 18th verse said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will come to you. 23rd verse, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, okay, see, it's our choice. Again, he's not going to force himself. If a man love me, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Make our abode with him. In other words, we'll live life with this person that loves me. The 26th verse says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Now he's beginning to define the Comforter a little bit further. He's a Spirit of Truth. He's a Comforter. He's the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. What will he do? He'll teach you all things. He'll bring things to your remembrance when in your humanity, when you otherwise would forget. Those seeds that have been sown in your life by your diligence to apply yourself to the Word of God, to come hear the Word of God. Maybe the faithfulness of others that sowed seeds in your life. But because we're human, we forget these things sometimes, and sometimes in the heat of the moment, and sometimes not in the heat of the moment. It's just that we don't remember. It's just like, if it's left up to my human brain, I'm going to forget. I'm not going to know. But he said, I understand that. I'll send you a Holy Spirit that's real. It's alive. It'll dwell within you. It'll help you. It'll comfort you. It is a Spirit of Truth. It isn't going to lead you in error. And when you forget the things that could have helped you in your time of need, I'll bring it to your remembrance. Isn't that wonderful? You've been in those places before where you're struggling and all of a sudden you just find yourself singing this song and you say, what song am I singing? Well, what is going on? What song am I singing? And so you think about what song's in your heart, because you wouldn't try to sing that song. It's just all of a sudden going through your mind, and you start paying attention to the words of this song, and you realize that's the answer to the problem that I'm having. That's an encourage that the Lord's trying to encourage me. He's saying, no, you're my child. Oh, I remember that happened to me one time. I was in a place and just kind of a little bit down, and I woke up singing that song about being the child of God. How wonderful. Or when a scripture comes to your mind or your heart, when you otherwise wouldn't even think of it, the Lord is the comforter, the Spirit that's helping assist you in life. Life assist. It's not lane assist per se, but life assist. I want to help you get home safely. The comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever things I've said unto you. The 27th verse says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives. It's not the kind of peace and rest that you can get by satisfying the expectations of everybody around you in the world. It's not the kind of peace and rest that comes by somehow achieving some sort of temporal security in life. It's not the kind of peace that comes that's defined by those that have determined what it is that you need exactly in your life to find peace and rest in a temporal sense according to man's reasoning in this life. But it is a peace that passes all understanding. It's a peace that doesn't come from the world. It is a peace that comes from God that I give you. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Lord was not going to leave us alone. And then we find on the day of Pentecost, read in the second chapter of Acts, that the promise was fulfilled and the Holy Spirit was sent with power. So the Holy Spirit came with power. The success of our Christian life. Be encouraged this morning, folks. The success of our individual, personal walk with God is not solely dependent on my ability, on my strength, on my righteousness. If that were the case, every one of us would be lost. But it's not solely dependent on that. The Lord is not looking for ways to cut us off. The Lord is not looking. He is not a. It didn't say that he sent a hard taskmaster and a judge with a whip to whip us into line. But he defined it as a comforter, a teacher, a leader, one that prays for us. Romans 8:26. He sees our infirmities, and though we don't know how to pray for ourselves, and the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So he prays for us. He gives us power. He gives us power and help to resist, to be able to endure temptation when we otherwise wouldn't be able to do it on our own. The scripture says, Acts 1:8, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. So the Holy Spirit is real. It's not just an idea. It's not just a theory. It's not just something to say that sounds good. Say, well, I believe and salvation, and I believe being filled with the Holy Spirit, and I've done all that. I've checked those boxes, and I think I'm saying it right, and I think I fulfilled everything that the church said that I was supposed to do. And now I got to go out the back door, and I got to go live life. And I got to go try to do this on my own. I don't know if I can do it. I think I did everything that it said I was supposed to do, but now I've got to go try to make it happen, and I just feel so inadequate. It's more than that. The Holy Spirit's real. The Holy Spirit wants to go with you through those back doors. The Holy Spirit wants to comfort you, wants to encourage you, wants to lift you up. He doesn't want you to have to feel alone and go through life. The Holy Spirit wants to be there so that when you need help, the Holy Spirit gives you wisdom and guidance. And when you start to go off the road, that you hit a spiritual rumble strip that says, whoa, wait a minute, you're starting to go off the road. Attention, you know, look up, let me help you. You can get back on the road so that you don't have to go out into the ditch or the field. When we get saved, it's like the Lord comes into our house. We have houses we live in, places that we go to that we call home. And our life is like that. And the Lord looks at our house, and we have sin in our house and sin in our life and unrighteousness. And before the Lord can come in, because He's a righteous God, before He can come in, there's something that has to be done first. And that is that He forgives us of our sins. And we come to Him and say, Lord, I need help. I can't do this on my own. Lord, I'm sorry. I want to come before you with godly sorrow and repentance, which involves a turning away from. Lord, I don't want to stay in Egypt, which in the Old Testament is a representation of sin, living a life of sin, living in Egypt. Lord, I don't want to stay in Egypt. I don't want to stay here and continue to worship and have false gods and idols around me. Lord, I want something more than that. And so the Lord, He shed His blood that if we'll accept it and allow it to be put on our doorpost. Remember the Passover? Way back before Jesus died on the cross, way back then it was representative of the time that the perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ, was going to come and His blood was going to be shed, and the blood was put on the doorpost. And when that happened, all of those that were willing, if they would do that, they could be saved and they could leave Egypt. And it's like the Lord comes into our hearts and our lives when we are in an unsaved, in a sinful, unrighteous state. And we say, Lord, I need help. And so then He saves us. But you see, it can't end there. Because if it ended there, well, why can't it end there? Real quick. The Lord's plan was not to turn us into heavenly angels with no will while we're here on this earth. Lord willing, there'll come a time when we're not tempted by sin anymore. And we'll be in a different place and we won't have that battle. But while we are here on earth, the Lord is going to respect your will. He gives us a will. He gives us the right to choose. And it's up to us. And He isn't going to force His way on us. And even after we come to the place where we say, Lord, would You forgive me? Lord, I need Your help. I'm sorry. I want to repent. And He forgives us. He does not remove our will. It's our choice whether or not we want to follow Jesus all of the way. And so He doesn't remove that free will from us. We always have the right to say, I'm going to go a different way. I'm going to turn the blinker on and I'm going to override what it is that I know I'm supposed to do, and I am purposefully going to go out this way. I'm going to take a hard right, and that's what I'm going to do. And the Lord will back off, and He'll let us do that. So when we get saved, all of that doesn't go away. But he doesn't leave us alone. He didn't just say, well, I'll save you, but good luck. You know, hope you make it through. It's pretty wild out there, and most, you know, it's really kind of impossible for anybody to do that on their own. But I'll save you today. That's not what he did. He said, I won't leave you comfortless. I won't leave you alone. He came to lead us. He came to guide us. He came to give us the help that we need so that we can make it safely through if we are willing. And so the second work of grace, the second work, we get saved. And he cleans us of our sins. Then we are now in a place where his Holy Spirit can come into and live. If we're willing. Sometimes it's referred to, a lot of times people hear, I'm thankful that I'm saved and sanctified. But a way that perhaps might more clearly stated is that we are saved, the first work. Lord, I need saved by your grace. But there's something else. Lord, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I've done that now. Thank the Lord that I'm saved and I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Because that's what he sent then to help lead and guide us in life so that we can make it home. It becomes, if you will, if you'll permit me, a life assist mechanism, process, that isn't just a button, it's not just a bolt on, it's not just a inanimate tune up that happens, you know, like you can do to your vehicles and say, okay, you're good to go. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God's Spirit. And I need him in my life to help me know how to live life, because otherwise I'm not going to know how to live life. I need him to help me understand how to decorate my home, how to outfit my life. I need him to help me understand what I let in and what I should keep out, because I'm not going to know otherwise. I need him to help me understand, Lord, what does the foundation of my life need to look like? Because I'm still human. Lord, the water that flows through my house and into each of the rooms, that I allow to flow, Lord, help me to know what it is that I should allow to flow into each of my rooms. Because I don't know. And it might be contaminated. And I won't know unless you help me. Lord, that electricity that goes through all the different rooms in my life, those things that I give myself to in life, that I give power to have a place in my life, Lord, there may be some of those places where we need to cut power. But Lord, unless you help me, I'm not going to know. I remember quite a few years ago, actually, preached a message here and gave the example of, you know, sometimes when someone comes to your house and you say, just make yourself at home. Just want you to make yourself at home. My house is your house. But most of the time, you don't really mean that completely. Because if you were to go into another room to do something, and then you come back out, and you find that the person you told to make themselves at home have rearranged your furniture and taken certain pictures off of the wall and maybe thrown some stuff out the back door, you'd come in and say, what are you doing? What's going on here? What are you doing with my stuff? They said, well, you said I can make myself at home. And I didn't like that picture. That's not what I would have done. And that thing you had plugged in over here, I don't like that there. So we threw that out. And just the way you have your house set up is not the way I'd have my house set up. It's a way of helping people say, I want you to be comfortable in my home. But we don't really mean, I want you to make it like it's your home most of the time. However, when we ask the Holy Spirit to come into our life. The Lord wants us to get in a place where we say, Lord, it's your home. And mean it. Lord, this is your house. I yield my life into your hands because I don't know how to do it on my own. And when we ask the Holy Spirit to come into our lives, and he comes in, he begins to help me understand things about myself that I didn't understand before. Begins to help me understand that, Rod, this thing that you have hanging up on your wall in your house, it's not something that brings glory to me. It's not consistent with seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and knowing me and reflecting me to the world and making heaven and help others make heaven. Can we, Rod, it'd be better off if you took this down. Yes, Lord. The Lord doesn't say, oh, you got that? I see something there. I'm out of here. That's not what he came. He came to be our helper. He came to be our comforter. He came to teach us, meaning that there are things that we need to be taught. In other words, we haven't arrived. When we get saved and we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we've not spiritually arrived. We've just started the journey. But we have yielded our will. And the Lord comes in and says, Rod, you're given power to something. You're given a place in your life, in your house, that's not glorifying to me. And if you'll let me, I'll help make some changes here. I'll give you the help that you need. I'll help fill the void. I'm not going to leave you empty. And I want to help keep you in the center so that when the Lord comes back and we stand before the judge, he can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done because of my righteousness? No. Well done. You are willing to yield your will to the will of the Holy Spirit. You are willing to let a higher power lead your life in a way that oftentimes was outside of how you would have led your own life. Well done. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit wants to get us there. He reveals unrighteousness in our lives when we're ready to see it. Folks, sometimes we see unrighteousness in other people's lives and we're ready to judge them. Maybe they don't see it yet. The Holy Spirit recognizes they're not ready for that. Let me deal with them. When they're ready, I'll show them. And when we're ready for it, the Holy Spirit will say, okay, in the land of Canaan, it is now time for you to take this mountain. Now is the time to take the mountain. When I fall, I've left Egypt. I have entered the Canaan land. I have given myself to the Lord. Lord, take my life. Let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Lord, I want to serve you more than anything else. Oh, and then I find myself, as Joshua did after Ai, prostrate on the ground because I failed. Something in my life, it's not right. I erred. I deviated. But it happened while I didn't turn the blinker on. My intent was not to go off the road. I didn't say, I'm done with the land of Canaan. I'm going to Egypt. I'm tired of this. I'm going the other way. I want to go my own way. It's when we are on that journey of sanctification, of understanding ourselves and learning how to consecrate and dedicate and set apart. And the Lord begins to show me things in my own lives where I have trouble. And Joshua, when he recognized what all had happened, which was representative of our lives, as they went into Canaan and went to conquer land, the Lord came along and he saw a person. He wasn't satisfied with that failure. Joshua didn't want that failure. He didn't want to be defined by that. He wasn't going to give himself over to that. Joshua didn't say, well, that's just how it is. That's who I am. That's what I want. That's what we want to keep in our tents. We earned that. It's our life. If they want to bury it there, they can bury it. No. He was, oh, God, have mercy on me. This is not who I want to be. This is not where I'm intending to go. And the Lord came along. And he lifted him up and he picked him up and he said, get up, Joshua. Got more land for you to possess. I'm going to help. I'm going to help you in life. As long as you're willing to let me help you. As long as you remain in a place where you want to serve me more than anything else, I'll be here for you. And if you fall, I will help pick you back up. Why would we not want this, Holy Spirit? Why would we not want this abiding presence in our lives? John 16 and 13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you. He'll help you into all truth. Yes, there's sacrifice. There's going to be times of self-denial. There's going to be times where we start veering over to the right because that's what we want to do, and maybe we start paying attention to something that we shouldn't be paying attention to, and we start veering off center, and the Lord comes along and he begins to nudge us like that lane assist thing does in the cars, and we hit a rumble strip, and the Holy Spirit says, Rod, you shouldn't be over here. You should not have been distracted by this. You knew better than that. What are you doing over here? Oh, Lord, I don't want to be over here. You are right. That's not where my heart is. Lord, have mercy on me. Yes, Lord, I will follow your leadings and will. Please help me get back. Lord, I'm going to keep going for you. That is not where my heart is. That's not where I'm going. Isn't that wonderful to have a Holy Spirit that cares about us and loves us to get us home? We can't keep the Holy Spirit if our intent is to willfully and purposefully allow sin and unrighteousness in our lives. The Holy Spirit is not a push button. Well, I think I need the Holy Spirit today. I need some wisdom. I need some help. I need some guidance. I'm really in a tough place. I think I'll push the button. Lord, you said your Holy Spirit would be there to help me. It isn't going to work that way. I can't just turn it on and turn it off. If that's how we're going to live, give our will to the Lord, it should be standard. It's not whether I'm going to turn it on or turn it off. Lord, I'm all in. 24/7, I want you to lead and I want you to guide my life. Do we spiritually arrive again, before we conclude this morning, do we spiritually arrive the day that we are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit? I don't find anywhere where it says that, but what I do find is that we are going to grow in grace. The Lord is going to teach us about ourselves. I find in the Scriptures where He requires that we submit our will to Him, and that if repentance is needed, that we're not stubborn about it, but that we willingly, willfully, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I want to possess more land. The plan of salvation and being filled with the Holy Spirit is a plan designed for spiritual success. We've spent a good amount of time together the last, I don't remember how many weeks now, giving consideration to our responsibility as a child of God to make good decisions to help us get home safely, exercising due diligence and internalizing the vision and the objective of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But that's not enough on its own. It's not going to be enough. If I approach that and try to do it on my own, with my own human reasoning and my own ability, I'm not going to make it. And so as the scripture said in Acts 19 and 2, Paul encountered disciples. They were believers. They were people that had been saved. They were people that had given themselves to serving the Lord. And he asked them a question. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you have believed? See, there's two things that the Lord wants to do for us. He wants to save us, and he wants to give us power so that we can be able to live our life where truth-based heart convictions become who we are about. And not only do we have truth-based heart convictions, but that we have the power to live according to them. It's what he wants for us. And so Paul saw him and he said to the believers, have you received the Holy Ghost since you have believed? Since you have given yourself and now your will is the Lord, have you invited him into your house now that he can abide in you and help you stay on this road to eternal life? If so, he was telling them it's time to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this morning, a question for us is, have you invited? Have you invited the Holy Spirit into your life since you believed? Have you come to the place where you're willing to let the Lord have full, complete control of your life since you believed? A loud and alive, interactive, precious, loving, life assist gift of the Holy Spirit into your life. It's not something to be afraid of, something to be embraced. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life, be encouraged. Don't fear to ask the Lord for the infilling presence of the Holy Spirit, for he has said, fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you kingdom. Amen.